Buongiorno, mamma Saeggio, ci andrò a schiocce, giorno mattia, la quarra massa.
Together, verse 7 to the end of the chapter. Revelation chapter 10. Voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it, and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And as usual, the people who preceded me this morning just about preached the message. And that's what's on my heart today, is the need for the voice of the Lord to be in the church. We need it, saints. Now, Paul told us, 1 Corinthians 15:52, that the resurrection of the overcomer, the first resurrection, the resurrection of the dead toward which we're looking, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, shall take place at the last trumpet. Now that's 1 Corinthians 15:52. At the sounding of the last trumpet. Now, the sounding of the seventh trumpet, or the last trumpet, is described in the 10th and 11th chapters of Revelation. And it seems to me that the preparatory events, preparatory to the coming of the Lord and our being raised, they seem to start in chapter 10, verse 11. Actually, probably, no, I would say chapter 10, verse 1. Let's can type this out clearly. The preparatory events for the seventh trumpet, if you study carefully chapters 10 and 11, there's going to be preparatory events. Notice the expression in the verse 7 of chapter 10. In the days of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. How many see that? Well, how come you can't see it? It's right there in the Bible. Revelation 10, 7. When he shall begin to sound. How many see that? That's better. All right, now in chapter 11, in verse 15, it says, the seventh angel sounded. You see that in 11:15? So there is a preparatory period. In other words, the sounding of the seventh angel encompasses several events. And if I am sensing the Spirit of the Lord in my spirit, I would put myself out on a limb and say, I don't think the Lord is coming this afternoon or tomorrow. I don't believe it. If he does, praise the Lord. Goodbye, 21%, and all the rest of the problems. But it is my impression, and we have a right as Christians to go to the Lord about these things, that there are several things that must be done before the Lord returns. I don't think they're going to take a long time. I think they're going to be done quickly. But if I understand the prophetic flow and the framework of what God is doing, that we are not in the days of the sounding of the trumpet, but in the days of the beginning to sound of the trumpet. See that? See the difference there? Preparation. He shall begin to sound. In other words, in the spiritual realm, there's a beginning, a preparation, thank God there is, because the church is not ready on this day in April, and the world is not ready for the coming of the Lord. And it is my opinion, I think it's scriptural, that there will be some preparatory events. I don't think they're going to take a long time. I think they're going to be done sharply. Bang! I think they've begun already. I think we are in the days when the seventh angel is beginning to sound. That's my opinion. Do with that as you will. All right, now notice in the passages that we read that the Apostle John was commanded to eat the little book. He didn't say read it. We've got a lot of people today reading the book. But you can read the book and miss God by a country mile. Come on. You can have a Bible study in each hand and a pencil behind each ear and your brain, your ears listening to cassettes, and when the Lord comes you won't even see it. It's the truth. The Pharisees were great Bible students, but it was Annas, what was her name, and Simeon who saw the Lord. Now, what is the difference? The difference is some are reading the book and some are reading the book. And he didn't say to John, read the book. He said, eat it. Now, what is the difference in practical terms? The difference in practical terms is you can read all of the teachings today and they are marvelous, and there may be true that there is an abundance of Christian literature today and cassettes that has never been true before in history. I believe that's probably statistically true. They're all good, and I think most of them are of the Lord. But just reading them will not do the job. You have to partake. You have to go to Christ and say, make this real in my life. Otherwise, you'll be ever learning and never coming to the truth. You'll be off on some new kick. Who's got a new thing? It's better to have a small bit of the Word and have it in your heart than to have all the charismatic knowledge in the world and still be unjudged, unrepentant, disobedient. It's not profitable. See? So you have to eat it. It has to get in your bone. It has to be in your bone. You prophesy to the bone, not to the brain. He didn't say to Ezekiel, prophesy to the brain. He said, prophesy to the bone. And when you get the fire of God in your bones, it will convert you from the ways of Babylon to the ways of the remnant. The ways of Babylon, the ways of the remnant. So you've got to eat it, and it tastes sweet. But when it works out in your life, it gives you pause, brother, sister, it gives you pause. Praise the Lord. All right. But that's the real stuff, and I know you want the real stuff. I know you don't want your ears tickle. I know you want the real stuff. We all do. Bitter, sweet. We take the bitter and the sweet. We take the negative and the positive. And we're healthy people. All right? And it was proclaimed to him. Now, no, you're going to have to read carefully. Quit worrying about the nation right now. And read what the Bible says. In verse 11 of chapter 10, he says, you must prophesy again. And I want you to notice the word again. Again. You must prophesy again. And I believe this is the key to the manifestation of the two witnesses. It's a latter rain. It's a latter rain prophecy of the church. The witness of God. Alright, now notice the word again. Now, the prophets of Israel, he says, you must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now, the prophets of Israel never spoke once that two of the Old Testament prophets would be reincarnated. or would come down from heaven out of a cloud, or suddenly appear in the end time, in the time of the church, and assume the role of testifying, it's not prophesied once. And we got that notion from our carnal thinking. That's where we got it. Never came from God. I don't believe it. I don't believe it ever came from God. That's my opinion. I'm stuck with it. You can't take one part of the Bible and speculate on it. It's a seamless road. It's a seamless road. There's no seam between the Old Testament and the New. I do not believe in dispensationalism. You read the whole book. You don't eat part of the book. It's one message of God from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse in Revelation. Brother, sister, there's continuity. And the New Covenant writers constantly refer to the Old. Consider James. Think about this one. Say, it's one book, one Israel, one anointed, one revelation. Hallelujah. Bless God. And if the old part of the Bible doesn't live, you don't have it in your bones. Because our meat and food comes out of Isaiah in these places. They're the ones that say, a root out of a dry ground. Tell us about Jesus Christ. The 91st Psalm. What would you do without the 91st Psalm? Who are you going to apply that to? Israel? A thousand shall fall at thy side? Brother, sister, that's what the church has lived by for 2,000 years. Now, nowhere up in those prophecies does it say two men are going to be reincarnated. It's against God's way of working. But what doesn't say? What doesn't say? It says that God is going to pour out His Spirit again. Hallelujah! Not one time, but many times does it say that God is going to give a latter rain outpouring to His people. That's what's prophesied. And that's what the two witnesses are, as I understand it. So keep your sanctification and trust the Lord, and it'll all be all right. All right, for example, Hosea 6:3. Now consider this. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning. Now, this is talking about the morning of the day of the Lord, or the day star. And He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Now, Rotherham gives it in this order. I know the new translations do not have latter and former rain, but I think they're mistaken. Rotherham has it, and the King James has it, and I believe this is a correct rendition of the Hebrew, because the King James is the received text, Rotherham is Westcott and Hort, so both of them have latter and former rain, for the harvest and seed rain. Now, that is contrary to the way the rain comes. The rain comes as the former and the latter rain. Now, why in this one passage did the Spirit of God put the end-time rain before the rain, the former rain of the book of Acts? And I believe He put it there because what this passage is emphasizing is the latter rain, but he's saying, you're not only going to have all of the glory of God coming down in this hour, but that which came down in the book of Acts too. Hallelujah! We're going to have both Elijah and Elisha, the Spirit of God upon the church in the latter and the former rain at the time of the morning of the day of the Lord. And that's what the prophets teach. Hallelujah! Aren't you glad you're living in such a day? We are going to prophesy again, and the greatest need in our nation today is for even one man with the Spirit of God. We have no prophet. A million people are going to march on Washington, and I submit that we pray, and if you can fast and pray, do so. If it's in your heart and before the Lord. But let me tell you something. I speak well of the brethren, thank God. But you find me in the Bible where that's God's way of doing it. God hates one man. God had one man, Moses, going. And Moses said, this is too heavy for me. So God put the anointing on 70 men. And the Sanhedrin was born. And that's what crucified Christ, was the Sanhedrin. God knows what he's doing. And it is not God's way to get a mob of people. And God is speaking through his servants. And I'll tell you what Brother Dowell told us Friday night. And I didn't hear this firsthand. I heard it secondhand from Brother Dowell. But this is his bag, this dealing with the high mucky mucks. And he said that Mark Hatfield responded to Dema Shakarian and Bill Bright and these other people with these billions of dollars and said, you come to Washington and you mess with our process and we will have you investigated by the IRS. And so Bill Bright's backing out, Dema Shakarian is backing out, and they're not going to have any political intervention. Because in our country, there's a law against using tax-exempt organizations to influence legislation. Now, why did God allow a Christian man, Mark Hatfield, a Christian, to blister the church in this way? You march on Washington. You go ahead. You interview every one of the hundred senators. And we will have you investigated. You know why God allows things that way? Because that's not God's way. It's not by might, nor by power. And you can have Jean Harlow and Greta Garbo and everybody else march on Washington that you want. But what we need is a prophet. A prophet. We don't need two of them. And we could do with one. Show the nation the relationship between the homosexuals in San Francisco and the planes crashing into each other when they come off the ground. See, that's what we need, is an interpreter, like Jeremiah. Someone to explain, this is why this is happening, is because you're backslidden. Not a whole bunch of people. That's not God's way. Do you know it's unscriptural to have a popular prophet? Amen.
Subdued group this morning.
But thank God, the Bible says that God is going to prophesy again. We have that promise in the Word of God. All right, let's go now to Zechariah 10:1. Y'all have that memorized, I'm sure. Ask ye of the Lord rain. In the time of the latter rain. Now, where's the latter rain? Well, we all know the term former and the term latter, don't we? Well, the Bible teaches beyond doubt there's a former rain and there's a latter rain. Well, that means there's a planting rain so that you have ground soft enough to sow seed, and you have a harvest rain to bring the stalks to maturity so that the sun can come and harden the hedge and they can be harvested. If you don't have rain in the time of latter rain, you got to shrivel up harvest. You've got to have rain in the latter rain. Now, we all know that the harvest in the Bible is at the time of the coming of the Lord when he harvests the wheat and the tares. So the Bible is teaching us there will be a latter rain. And that the latter rain of Palestine is far more abundant than the seed rain is common knowledge. Saint, you are living in the days of the latter rain. Thou must prophesy again. Ask of the Lord rain. This is the days of the latter rain. And if we ask for latter rain, you'll get your portion. Okay? Joel 2:23. See, this is what the prophet said would happen in the last days. That the church would be inundated under God's Spirit. Joel 2:23. And in Zechariah 4, he says, what is he? Two olive trees. He says, this is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And he brought down the headstone on the temple. Joel 2:23. I just threw that in. That was a fast one, Zechariah 4, because Audrey picked that song this morning. Joel 2:23. Be glad then. Did you find Joel? Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Hosea, Joel, Amos. In between Hosea and Amos. You ought to know Joel. He's the prophet of Pentecost. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Alright, this is what Joel said. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. So the book of Acts was a moderate outpouring of God's Spirit. But he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And this context of Joel is dealing with the time the sun is darkened and the moon is darkened. It's dealing with the time of the coming of the Lord. Read the context. Starting in chapter 2 about Joel's army. He's talking about the coming of the Lord. There is going to be, you are going to prophesy again. All right. The former rain resulted in the spread of the gospel witness to the ends of the earth. Guess what the latter rain is going to do? It's going to spread the gospel witness to the ends of the earth. That's the purpose of the rain. Okay. Now, are you thinking? Some of you look like you're thinking. All right, so we'll go ahead. The end, now listen carefully, and we spoke last Sunday morning on the ministry of a prophet. And if you weren't here and you want the continuity, you could get the tape on what is required of a prophet. And you are prophets. You are prophets. Every one of you. We'll be explaining that in a moment. So you can get that tape if you want to. It's taken from the first chapter of Jeremiah when it tells you what is characteristic of a prophet. You better read it and find out what's going to happen to you. The end time witness will be prophetic in nature. Thou must prophesy again. It will be prophetic. Every member, are you here? Every member of God's elect will become a part of the great light of the world, the body of Christ, which is the lampstand of God. Every member of the elect. Now listen carefully. Some of you in here are students, and I'll be glad to hear after the course, after this course here this morning, and see how it goes. We must understand the difference between the internal ministry of the body of Christ, or body of Messiah, and the external ministry of the body of Messiah. The internal ministry of the body of Messiah, and the external ministry of the body of Messiah. The purpose of the internal gifts and ministries of the body of Messiah is what? Oh, come on. Ephesians 4. Is to build up the body itself. Is to build up the body itself. That's an internal ministry. Ephesians 4. The Holy Spirit has given to the members of the body a diversity of gifts so that the body can build itself up in love, so that it can come to the full stature of Christ. Is this true? That's internal within itself. These different parts, a fragmented ministry. Then there is a total or corporate ministry of the body, which is external. God is bringing to unity and perfection the body of Christ in order to accomplish external or corporate objectives. And these are not fragmented, but they are part of every member of the elect. These are not fragmented. These are not things that are given to one or to another. These are things which every member of the elect shares as the corporate witness. Are you following me? A ministry outside itself, not to itself, but to these various things. And I have listed 9. These are 9 things that we will do as a unit after we have been built up by the diversified gifts. First, as the light of the world. And see, that's what the Spirit in you has been asking for this morning. I believe Pete mentioned it. I believe Paul mentioned it. You see, you're saying, we need the light, we need a light. See, that's our ministry. God doesn't give to one to be the light of the world and to another to be something else. That is something that we all do. It's part of our being part of the lampstand of God. John was an apostle, but now he's called, it was his ministry within the body, as an apostle. But to the world, he's a prophet. See the difference? You and I are called to be God's witnesses by the anointing, not by numbers. Listen, two Christians are no stronger than one in the sense of witness. A million are no stronger than two. It is not that way. The power of the witness has only to do with your relationship to Jesus Christ. One person with God is more of a witness than a million who are milling around. It is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. So hard. Israel had an awful time with that. God said, send them home. If I bring 10,000, 20,000 people here, they'll boast themselves. Send them home. God wants the glory. God! Our nation needs to see the living God. We don't need man. We need God. We don't need big men. We don't need them. They're in the way. We need God. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Ghost. One, corporate, external to the body, the light of the world. Two, as the counterpart, the wife for God's Son. That's not given to us individually. To one is given to be the bride. Three, as an eternal temple for God Himself. Four, as a just and righteous ruler for the nations of the earth. Five, as a judge of men and angels. Six, as a destroyer of the devil and all of his works. Seven, as the means through which the Father is going to become all in all throughout His creation. Eight, as the means through which the Father is going to sum up and center the heavens and the earth in the Lord Jesus Christ. And nine, as God's eternal servant who will plant the heavens, lay the foundation of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people, God's servant. Now, we feel that the first corporate external ministry of the body of Christ will be this great earthwide witness in the church, which is portrayed symbolically by the two witnesses, the number two standing for the double portion. That this will be not our, in other words, that prophetic ministry, hear me now, is not the ministry of a prophet in the body of Christ. The ministry of a prophet in the body of Christ is for what purpose? To build up the body. Not that type of prophet, but a prophet, as it was said to John, you will prophesy before many peoples. Not to the body, but before many people and nations. This is the light of the world, which every Christian is anointed to do. It's not a ministry of a prophet to the body. That's a fragmented thing given to one out of a group. This is that part of that great corporate functioning of the lampstand of God. See the difference there? And we feel that the first great corporate external ministry of the mature and unified body of Christ is exemplified or symbolized or typified, demonstrated by these two witnesses. They're two lampstands. Well, the only lampstand in the Bible, brothers and sisters, the only lampstand is Christ. Christ is the lampstand of the tabernacle. And the reason why it's two is because it's Christ, head and body. The two are one, but the two is emphasizing the double portion, the two wave loaves of Pentecost. You see, God has kept the good wine until now. The number two stands for power, the fullness, the Elisha. Elisha was Elijah multiplied by two. All right, every member of the body of Christ will be a part of this great end-time ministry. Today we're given a piece of ministry for the perfecting of the body. But when we come to the corporate, it's not no longer fragmented. Now, we find in this Isaiah 43:10. You're going to have to look carefully to see these little things in the Bible, but you'll see they're there. I check them out in other translations to make sure I'm not basing anything upon a phenomenon of words or a translation, but it's really what the text says. Because sometimes in the text, great emphasis is laid on whether a thing is singular or plural, as in this case. Notice what it says, Isaiah 43:10. Ye are my witnesses. Now notice plural in number. Witnesses. Now who are the witnesses of God? Every member of the church. You are God's witnesses. And the context here is talking about the servant of the Lord. All right, of Isaiah 42. But now notice. And my servant, singular. The witnesses comprise one servant of the Lord. The servant of the Lord of Isaiah 42, Messiah, is the head, the great head, Jesus Christ, but also the body. We are being made the body of Messiah. The word Messiah means anointed with oil. Jesus was anointed, went about doing good. He was the anointed. He was the lampstand of God. But now there is a body of the lampstand. Jesus is the light of the world. But he said to us, ye are the light of the world. So the light of the world is Jesus and his body. These are the lampstand. No one else in the Bible can be a lampstand. Only Christ and his church, as we found in Revelation 2. The churches are shown in lampstands, and the church is only a lampstand because the lampstand, Christ, is among us. And if Christ were not among us, we would be no lampstand. We're only a lampstand because of Jesus. We're only the light of the world because the light of the world is in the lights of the world. Isn't that right? So there is a play in the scripture on the singular and the plural. You are my witnesses. Okay. Now, and notice what we bear witness of. And notice what is essential, that you may know and believe me and understand I am he. The witness is not theological, saints. The witness is personal and experiential. What this nation needs is somebody that knows God. That you may know that I am he. And we talked about the separation of the prophet last Sunday morning. I believe we went into that, how Jeremiah was separated. How God takes the prophet and sets him against the congregation. Sets him against the whole earth. Finally, Jeremiah says, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Because he was against Israel. He said, Father, you have made me a man of strife and contention to the whole earth. And if you are willing to accept the prophetic burden to be a witness, your first and most important class is to come to know God for yourself. You've got to touch the fire. He's got to touch you. He's got to touch you. When he touches you, it happens. And until he does, you're talking about being a prophet. He's got to touch you. There must come a time when Jesus touches you. And when he does, you'll be changed. Then, and only then, can we become a witness. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. And our hands have handled. We have to do the best we can until God touches us. Acts 1:8. you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Holy Ghost is the oil of the lampstand. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. This is Isaiah 43 fulfillment. Ye are my witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now, the ministry of being a witness is part of the external, the corporate ministry. You remember how the disciples under persecution went everywhere preaching the word? Every one of the elect. Now, the purpose of the external ministry, the internal to build up the body of Christ. The purpose of the external ministry is to release the peoples of the earth. And we find the purpose of the external ministry to which God has called you and me in Isaiah 42, verse 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called. You see, Audrey starting about called. That was on my mind. Then someone else, a couple else went in about the light of the world. And then finally, with the altar of incense. It just is amazing. We've seen this Sunday after Sunday, how God in advance has a miracle to show you that He is speaking. There's no way you can do these things. God either moves upon us or He doesn't. Right? And you've all seen that so many times. All right. Now, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand. And listen, if you assent, you consent to be a part of the end time witness and are not frightened out of your wits, but consent, God will hold your hand. Listen, I would rather have Jesus Christ's hand and have the guarantee of every nation on the earth of my security. I would rather know that I'm with Jesus than to have all the money in Fort Knox. I would rather know that Jesus, because I know that cannot fail. I know Christ will not fail. I know it. Men may have the best intentions, but if God blows on them, the planes run into each other. I wouldn't put down the servicemen. They were doing what they could, and they died. And that's all any man can do. If you read your Bible, you can find out the significance of what happens when little things that come up, instead of opening up the clouds and helping, they blow in your eyes in confusion. Brother, sister, and I said to this church, God spoke to me, I was standing right there, and I've said it before, don't trust in your weapons. You heard me say that. The Lord told me that. You are powerless to defend yourself unless I defend you. Your weapons will not help you. And here we are, the mightiest nation in the earth. Can't get our helicopters off the ground. Now you think about that. You think about that. That is because we are sinning. Men can do their best, but unless the Lord keep the city, the watchman is awake in vain. You cannot. You can make every provision. You can train. You can do everything. And a gnat will fly in somebody's transistor and the fail-safe mechanism won't work and you're done. That's right. But if God is with you, you could go out, beat on your drum, and the enemy think it was thundering. Run to get their umbrellas. And you know, that's the truth. A little one can overcome. It's not by might. It's by what God. In the same way, in your life and mine, we don't need the help of a whole bunch of stuff. All we need to know is that God is holding our hand, and that's a majority in anybody's country. You know that's true. I will hold your hand, will keep you, and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. That's a corporate, external ministry of the body of Christ, to be a light, to be a lampstand. That's what we're called to be. But we have to have this, prophesy again, we have to have this end time double portion. Needs. It's going to bring the whole world to its knees. It's going to be the most powerful gospel witness that has ever been on the earth because it is preparing for the day of the Lord. It's going to be accompanied with signs and wonders, not only of the release, but also of the kinds that is described in there of plagues. You remember how James says to us, you remember how Elijah prayed, and
And he was a man of like passions as us. Well, what did he pray? That it wouldn't rain. So I'd never do such a thing, wouldn't you? You say that again 10 years from now. And God will lead you what to do. God's going to make you the head and not the tail. Elijah and Elisha reigned supreme. There wasn't anybody could touch them. And their nation was falling under the different countries that would come against them. One time Elisha went out. Elisha, an old guy, old bald-headed guy, went out and captured a whole army by himself, brought him into the camp of Israel. Now listen, that was under the old covenant. He that is least in the kingdom. God has kept the good wine until now. We're being trained, saints, for an end-time witness that's going to hit 5 billion people and bring them to their knees. Before Antichrist. Before Antichrist. Read it. Antichrist will war against it, but he won't be able to touch it until its time is over. Yep. That which hinders will be taken out of the way. That's right. Okay. To open the blind eyes, to bring the prisoners, Isaiah 42:7, out from the prison. That's what God has called you to do. Called you to bring out the prisoners. That's what he's called you to do, saints, and me. And them that sit in darkness, out of the prison house. John was an apostle of Christ, and he has built the church up to his epistle. But this is a ministry to the nations. Thou must prophesy before many nations and tongues. It's a worldwide witness. Worldwide. There'll be no nation closed to it. The nation that closes to it will be smitten by God. The Adullam children, read it. In the 30s in China, saw the saints going forth two by two to every village under heaven. And they walked through and they preached the gospel, heal the sick, and cast out devils. This is in the vision that the Adullam children saw in the 30s. And when they left the village, if that village did not repent, they shook the dust off their sandals, and right then, fire came down and destroyed that. You read that, Brother McClenican, that's in a vision behind the veil. And you read that vision, and they saw Antichrist, and they saw the saints going out. They saw the latter rain. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached for a witness unto all nations. You know when it started? 1948. I believe it. That's when Israel became a nation. That's when Billy Graham started. That's when the charismatic started. That's when all these things that we're enjoying today. Jesus said, this generation, that's the fig leaf, that both natural and spiritual, that's the budding of life. One generation, what, 40 years brings us up to 1988. I think things will move so fast it could very well. God said he would cut the works short. There would no one be saved on earth if he didn't. But for the elect's sake, he'll cut it short. Otherwise, nobody would be left alive upon the earth. That could very well be accomplished by 1988. This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. I tell you, the things that are coming to pass today, we heard prophesied in 1948. I could take you to the spot where Audrey and I were in Bible school in 47, and then in 1948, how the spiritual realm shifted gears, how the prophecy broke out, how God began to say, in 47 we were preaching the falling away and the rapture. And in 48, all of a sudden the prophecy was unheard of in those days for people to prophesy. It all died out at Pentecost. We hardly ever had a message in tongues, let alone a prophecy. All of a sudden in 48, it broke out everywhere. You went to Southern California, you could hear God saying, fire's going to come on the earth, and I'm going to feed you, and I'm going to transport you like Philip, and I'm going to do all these things. And we thought it was coming to pass right away. See, we didn't realize it was bitter in your stomach. And we didn't realize that God was going to come to the altar of incense, to the altar of praise, and he was going to judge the people. He's going to measure us. For 30 years, we've been measured. But I remember the word. And it's closer today than it's ever been. Saints, we are heading for the latter rain. When God gets, if God isn't going to work with all his people on the perimeter of the kingdom, just with those who are closest to him, at the altar of incense, either the veil, when the veil parts, as it were, we'll see Christ face to face. That is that which is perfect. The fullness of the Feast of Tabernacles. First to the church in us, John 14:23, and then visibly to the world. This is the opening up of the veil. And just a few days, as it were, saints, and faith will turn to sight. And we're going to see Him. And we'll know as we're known. That's that which is perfect. But right now it's all fragmented. And we are past Pentecost. We are at the altar of incense. We are praising God. And that's where the judgment hits. You can read that. Where the preparation for the two witnesses is the judging of the people who are at the altar of incense. Because God is not going to pour out His revelation on an unjudged people. He's not going to do it. We are going to be judged, every last one of us. We are going to be measured and tested. Because we are going to walk in this earth. We are going to be strong and do exploits. We are going to build a wall of God, even in troublous times. Jesus, the hour of darkness is coming, saints. The hour of darkness is coming. And the day star doth arise upon thee. And thou shalt bear witness before the Lord thy God. And I will pour out upon thee my Spirit, saith the Lord. And thy young men shall see visions. And thy old men shall dream dreams. And upon my daughters and my handmaidens in those days, saith the Lord, will I pour out of my Spirit. Upon all flesh will I pour out of my Spirit, saith the Lord. Upon all flesh will I pour out of my Spirit. And the rain of God shall come upon thee, signs and mighty wonders. And the Lord will send Jesus, who before was preached unto you. These are days of preparation. These are days of shaking and of testing. And the nations are entering into the darkness which is written. And thou art entering into the light and the preparation which is written. Ye are not children of darkness, but of light. Therefore walk ye as children of light. The Lord will prepare you. The Lord will hold your hand. The Lord will lead thee by the way. The Lord will guide thee and put His arms around thee. The Lord will take care of thee, my children, in everything. But thou must not be a partaker of the world. Thou must come out of the world system. Thou must come and flee for thy life, for the wrath which is to come shortly, saith the Lord. And if thou wilt certainly admonish thy children, and if thou wilt admonish one another, and speak often to one another, and fear the Lord, and be humble before Him, and walk in the light as He is in the light, then will the precious blood of the Lamb cover thee. And when I pass over the God of this world, I will pass over thee, saith the Lord, and I will spare thee, and thou shalt have light in all thy dwellings. Yea, I shall have a witness in the earth, saith God. I shall have a witness that shall overcome the darkness. The darkness shall not overcome it, saith the Lord, except as I permit, saith the Lord, to refine and to test and to try and to perfect, but in no manner, shape, or form, saith the Lord. Will anyone who puts his trust in me ever, ever, ever be put to shame or confounded? I am with thee, saith the Lord. I know thy doubts and thy fears. I know the details of thy life, for thou art called of me. Thou art mine elect, and I would delight in thee, saith the Lord. Thou shalt not besmear thy garments with the filth of this world. Thou shalt not take of it. Thou shalt separate thyself from it. Thou shalt not touch it. Thou shalt be a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and thou shalt walk under the open heaven. Thou shalt walk under the covering of the Spirit of prophecy, saith the Lord, and it shall abide upon thee. And I will send nations to thy light. I will send kings to thy uprising, saith the Lord. For lo, that which is spoken in the prophets is come to pass upon thee in this hour, and thou shalt prepare thyself to do thy Lord's will.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's any among us this morning, your heart is not right with God, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. Do not put off getting yourself right with God.
for sudden destruction is certainly coming, says. Sudden destruction and judgment from the Lord is hovering above us. And we kaparakaha silia, and we kika shilia rabaha siki silia rabaha 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 shilia rabaha rabaha siki silia rabaha. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give our hearts to Him, saints. Hallelujah. If you've never made it right with God, make it right with God this morning, saints. We don't have much time. The Lord loves us, but there comes an end to disobedience. Make yourself right. If there's anyone among us this morning, your heart isn't right with God, come on up to the altar. Let us pray with you this morning. Public act of repentance, if you want to do that, come up to the altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Today I called you to come and to worship me in spirit and in truth. And many of you entered, for you were willing to hear the voice of your Lord. But some of you were burdened by the world and entangled by the things that so easily entangle you, and you did not enter into worship, and I was not pleased. And I say unto you, if you cannot enter into the Spirit, into the things of God now, when things are not that difficult and the things that are entangling you are not that great, how will you be able to walk on worship and walk in the Spirit of the Lord when the darkness shall begin to overtake the people? Repent this day and enter in. When I tell you to enter in and do not be inside the things that burn you and entangle you.
Yes.
And listen to my voice.
Yes.
And enter in. Be free, for I desire you to be free in my spirit. And the things that are your problems are not that difficult that you cannot lay them aside and obey my voice. But all the things are going to be more difficult, and judgment is going to come. And if you cannot walk in my spirit this day, how will you be able to enter in on that day? Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Some among us have to repent this morning. Make your peace with God right now. Make your peace with God now. Cast off the unfruitful works of darkness. Cast off the burden, worry of the world, the things which are making you hang down and mourn when you should be leaping for joy. Come to God this morning. Hallelujah. Come to God this morning. Let Him sweep that away. Praise God. Yes, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us. We know, Lord, you came in and the person didn't have a wedding garment. Lord, we just pray there'd be no one in this room that is not properly attired, Lord, in thy righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, come, let us come and repent. Come on this morning. Just kneel down. Let's lay hands on you. If you have a need this morning, make it right. Is there anyone else? Praise the Lord. Serious days, saints. Serious days. For He on the platform so that you can pray with these people from in front. It's easier to get members of the council, church elders, others that want to pray. Come on up and pray this one. Come on right up on the platform. Is anyone else? And the Lord is speaking to you. Come up. Change your mind. You walk out that door, and it's business as usual. God has spoken. You come up and let God break that yoke. Praise His name. Young people, older people, doesn't matter.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's lay hands on these and pray with them. God encourage your heart.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Lord,
praise God. Praise God. Praise your name. Praise. Amen.
Hallelujah. Touch every heart. Release and glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. and He alone.
We seek your face, Lord. We seek your face, Lord. That every yoke might be broken. Yes, Lord. Every doubt might flee away. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Every care might go. Yes, Lord. We might see Jesus. We might see Jesus. We might see you, Lord. Hallelujah. Not the confusion of this world. We might see Jesus. Hallelujah. You're the Master, Lord. You're the Master. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, you know the burdens. Lord, for the unsaved husbands, for the unsaved sons and daughters, mothers and fathers, wives, relatives, Lord. We come before Thee this morning. Lord, You said it's a lamb for a house. And Lord, we just pray that the covering of the blood now would go out, Lord, upon our families, Lord. Hallelujah. Those that need chastening, chasten them, Lord. But save their souls, we pray. Hallelujah. Save the souls. Save the souls, Lord. Cause us to rejoice by seeing our loved ones walking in the joy of Zion. Hallelujah. Under the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know the grief of our hearts, Lord. You know the burdens, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we'll see many that are represented here this morning singing the songs of Zion. Forgiven and cleansed by Thy wonderful power, Lord. Help us to stand in the gap, Lord, that our unsaved loved ones may finally, Lord, be brought to the feet of Jesus and come into Your kingdom, Lord, and be saved. Saved in the day of wrath. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wonderful peace here. Maybe someone, God did something for you this morning. You'd like to tell us about it. Is there anyone here that would like to testify? Maybe God touched you or you've made a resolution to serve the Lord this morning. And just like to nail it down by telling the church. Is there anyone here like that this morning? Praise the Lord. Takes a lot of courage. Hallelujah. Glory. Sonny?
I'd like to share that I've been under personal condemnation for several days for my inability to really lead a spotless life. I don't know how else to put it. And maybe I was trying too hard or whatever, and I just felt like I slipped and I had to settle for God's second best. And I just had an assurance in my heart that God still holds His best out for me. It's very high.
Praise. That's wonderful. Anyone else have a word? Sometimes say something that means a lot to someone else. That's right where they are. Well, stand up. Shine for Jesus. Be His witness.
Every time you talk about the love of money, I just kind of creates and the love for the world and the worldly materialistic things and I'm kind of go. No good.
Hallelujah.
So I'm going to go all the way, no matter what it takes. Then the fear of losing my family was tremendous and I had to let that go too because that's a big thing for me. I said I love my family a lot. I have a little family, but I guess it's worth it all when you think about eternity.
Amen.
So I let that go. Hallelujah.
Everything we give to God, He gives back to us. Anything else? Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Oh, that's good.
Just, your word about working in the secular world. I have been under a great deal of stress and strain and frustration working in the secular world and being in the world and yet trying to be out of it. It's very difficult. And knowing Jesus, it helps you to get across that much easier. But there are times when you stumble and fall. And when you fall, thank God there's somebody there to pick you up. Thank God for the cross that we're able to go and be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am so thankful that I am a Christian and that when I did fall, by being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, I was able to come back again. And I want the double portion. I want all the way. I want it all.
Amen.
And especially now with things the way they are. I want God all the way.
Amen.
Like the song says, take all of me or nothing. I want all of God. I claim that in the name of Jesus. And I want the double portion that I may stand firm in the secular world because I have to get my bread and butter. And it's hard fighting the enemy, and it's a constant battle. So I want that double portion that I can stand strong and fight. I want to put on that whole armor of God and walk and stand tall. That's my hope for my life.
Rosemary. says the Lord.
No, there's no striving in it. So don't let me encourage
you, Diana.
Just do it.
Just,
you know, if you have to give
someone
up, take it. Do it.
Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Don't want to cut anyone off.
Right. I just want to kind of confirm it and be a witness to the same thing that anything you try and strive for in your own strength, no matter if it's just trying to speak to someone to bring them away from something, you can only make the situation worse in a lot of situations. And the only thing you can do is give it over to God.
Mm-hmm.
He does take care of it in the least time that you expect. And things can be total shambles. An hour later, God can sever it and bring twice the peace there ever was.
Anyone else? Loretta?
For a long time, I've been really having problems with bitterness, and it's been growing. And let me tell you, it grows, and it grows fast, and it's hard to do. And it turns to cold unless you really, really want to get rid of it. You can't unless God just allows you to. Because like I've tried, okay, well, yeah, right, I'm going to give it up. And every time it comes back again, even deeper, because I really haven't given it up. I really feel like I'm free, and I have to apologize to the wicked Lord because it's such a bitterness that's been against me, and I'm sorry. I really am.
Praise the Lord. Glory. Dave.
I just want to say what a blessing it is to be here. Every time I come to fellowship with you, I'm really strengthened in the spirit, and it's always a blessing to be here.
Praise the Lord. Glory. Yes, Mary. Your dad's in glory.
I'd like to say a word about that. I talked to my dad when John and I went back to Maryland. My dad is a Jew. And from reading the Old Testament, my dad had been a saint for 40 years. And you know what he told me when I was actually seeing this last time? He said, I have been waiting for this opportunity that he went through the wilderness. And he said, you know what he told me? Don't pray for me to stay. Don't hold me back. I've been waiting to be with Jesus for 40 years. Paul had the same kind of situation. He said, I'd like to go, but it's more needful for me, not for me, but for you, that I'm spared. Our desire shouldn't be heaven, but where our treasure is at. That's what Jesus is at. Well, I rejoice. I'm glad that you rejoice with me that my dad has gone to glory.
Hallelujah.
And that we'll see him at the resurrection.
Amen.
And that should be key to our hope.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Death, where is thy sting? But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased.
Any effort to talk to me anyway. And I cry at night and